And now, back from his round the world tour, Paul Smart.
Well, you know, the nice thing is that you come back and the news really hasn't changed that much. It's very comforting. It's very nice seeing what's going on here.
Our national news never changes. National, I think we had a little, a couple of bumps in the local news, but
but even those, I was trying to keep track of those from we were in Italy and then briefly stopped through London on the way back, and I tell you, traveling with a 7-year-old is exhausting. But thank heavens.
Not for him.
No. Well, it was. It was. He would just knock out at the end of the day, just fall asleep. I mean, he was playing soccer. We were running up and down. We hit every one of those seven hills of Rome. And this week, I hate to plug my own thing, but on the work show on Wednesday at 2 p.m., I've got some interviews with people just about their work and the idea of work in both Italy and in London. We met a really nice young woman who's from Budapest and dreaming of getting back to Budapest from London. And it's a nice little interview. And then some two 12-year-old twins just about what their plans are for the future. And then, of course, Milo at 7. What he saw traveling and what his plans are. So it's a whole idea kind of work. The original idea was going to be catching the idea of work as you meet people just traveling, but it morphed from there, as these things always happen. The one thing that I wished I had recorded was I forgot to bring my recorder into the Sistine Chapel, which is one of the most amazing soundscapes I've ever heard, where there's this murmuring of, 1,000 people with these guards going, shh, silencio, shh, silencio. Kind of wonderful.
As a station note, folks, our crack technical team has got the WGXE website back up. So we are in business. We had a little technical experience this morning.
Yes, I noticed that.
But we're up. We're rip-roaring and ready to go. The WGXC.org website is back up.
Well, the big thing over there, I mean, we're in that season. This late March into April, into the beginning of May, is an in-between season in which, on a national level, if you look at it from a distance, this is when a lot of difficult things happen, from Oklahoma City and Columbine, et cetera. It's the mud season, and it's almost as if it enters into our souls. At the same time, there's a lot of, on a local level, there's a lot of dinners honoring people. There are a lot of, this past weekend was the Beaux Arts Ball for the Greene County Council for the Arts. There are dinners all over Columbia County for fire departments and other things honoring, 50-year members. This coming week, the Greene County Democrats hold their annual FDR dinner up in Coxsackie. It's a fundraiser, but also a way of kind of building up for the upcoming election season. The other big thing right now is that we're shaping up towards the school board elections and school budget votes that take place in the latter half of May. And in school districts, it's strange that all the districts have one date in which the budgets and the school board candidates get voted on. But when the petitions are due for those candidates and when the budgets are due shifts somewhat between counties and school districts. But they all come due in the week of April 18th to the 22nd, around in there. So a lot of people are scurrying around right now trying to get the requisite number of signatures. It'll be interesting to see whether there are a lot of different candidates or whether it's a slow year. From the look of things, it's feeling quite slow, and it's feeling quite calm around. There's none of all that fire and brimstone that came up with the gun regulations and the SAFE Act passage about a month ago seems to finally be quieting down right now. It helped a great deal that when the state passed its budget a week and a half ago, they pumped a lot of money back into local education or into rural education, which helped a lot of school districts. Right now, the budgets are being passed by boards. And one of the things I'm noticing across several counties is that a lot of them, even though there's a 2% tax cap, at this point the budget figures are averaging at around a 4% hike over last year. They're trying to figure out how to include in facility changes, maintaining programs, upgrading computers, things like that. What'll happen is that they'll probably rise into the 4 to 5% range, and then they'll figure out what to cut back on, how to kind of juggle unexpended balances and new grants coming in, and things will end up in the 2 to 3% range, where it won't trigger the sort of disaster situation that we had in Germantown, for example last year, where they felt that their needs were such that they had to go over the 2% tax cap, which meant they needed a 60% majority vote, and they didn't get it, and pushed them into austerity, and has created all sorts of problems that we're still working with. So everyone's trying to figure out how the latest state budget figures are going to affect them permanent or a basis for the coming year. Kind of on the other side of what goes on educationally, there are allegations. The Daily Mail had a story this past weekend, I think it was, on allegations of alcohol consumption at a Catskill High School senior prank barbecue in the school parking lot last week. And the village police are investigating it. You've never heard of these things happening before, have you? It's but it's that time of year when everybody has to be careful about drinking and having kids drink at
your
home. Which
one
of the big stories in recent years was that it was kind of a slow unraveling of a kind of major political career over in Greene County because of somebody's having a party at their home and some kids get drinking. And
folks, if you don't know it, you should know it by now, but if you don't know it, you are responsible if underage children consume alcohol at your house. Even if they bring it with them and hide it from you, you got to keep your eye on them. You're responsible for what happens inside of your house.
Right, and it's one of those things that, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, having just come from Europe, where it's a whole different viewpoint towards drinking and the mores of society, if we at some point come closer to the rest of the world or pull farther apart, is anyone's guess.
Well, I believe last prom season we did pretty good. I don't think there was any big accidents, so I think the message has gotten out, at least for the driving part.
Knock on wood. You can never tell. There are so many factors that come into play there. But the tamping down on these parties and the host, I think it's a social host law is what they call it.
Yeah,
is a big thing. The big thing here in Hudson last week was Brad and Puppet was in town. Did they come on GXC?
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, I never forget. I think it was 2 years ago when we were just getting on the air. The very first week we were on the air, Brad and Puppet were in town, and they came parading right up Columbia Street here and into the studio and did a whole live broadcast.
Oh,
and,
wow.
They're celebrating their 50th year, so kudos, and kudos to all of us for being one of their favorite communities to alight to each year at this time. Over in Greene County, up on the mountaintop, they had a first in a series of meetings to prepare for the future of what they call the mountaintop in Greene County, which are the town of Hunter, the town of Lexington, the town of Prattsville, Asheville, and Windham. There's two villages, Hunter and Tannersville, as part of all of that. And there's a great entity that came together a number of years ago called the Hunter Foundation. And they're updating their mission statement and working with a River Street Planning and development, which is they've gotten some state funding to help create a strategic plan for the entire area up there in Greene County. And they had the first of what's going to be a series of meetings over the past, I guess it was yesterday on Sunday. on a larger state level, one of the things that everybody's kind of been looking into of late was in passing that budget almost 2 weeks ago. It turns out that the governor's budget did some playing around with workman's compensation, the workman's compensation fund, and moving some funds out of there. This was all highlighted by our local assemblyman, Pete Lopez. There's been a lot of back and forth in the papers about this, what it adds up to. It looking at it from a distance, it seems to be just a lot of budget shenanigans with the money moving here and there, and it's money that hasn't been spent yet, and just how to kind of get past these dates where you mark how much money's in the kitty. And so at this point, I don't know how serious that's going to be. I suspect it's going to be one of those early April issues that just fades away pretty quickly. Amongst the events going on over the past weekend, there was there's an annual running race that takes place up in Coxsackie as a fundraiser called the Trooper Brinkerhoff Race, and they raised $9,500 this year, and that's been going up quite a bit each year, and it took a sizable leap from last year, which kind of indicates that the economy seems to be doing better too. That the whole race goes back to young state trooper who was fatally shot during a sad event that took place over in Delaware County in the community of Arkville. I think it was about 5 years ago. I remember I was running a newspaper over in that area, and we sent people to cover it. It was somebody on the run. It was a misunderstanding. It turns out that there were several police entities all shooting into this empty barn, and it was all friendly fire.
I think I remember that.
It was a big event, and a lot of people lost their jobs at the top end of state police as a result of that. It was also time, I think it was around 2005, 2006, when everything was pretty tense throughout the country, and one of those things that got reflected there. Going back to the whole idea we had mentioned earlier, the whole controversy that we've been dealing with this year around guns and gun rights and Second Amendment, etc. And it seems that the state attorney general, Eric Schneiderman, has been going around and kind of making individual agreements with gun show operators to kind of stem change their ways somewhat, so there's more of a sense of registration, and they know who they're selling to, and it seems to be working.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And meanwhile, over in Greene County, both the towns of Cairo and Durham joined New Baltimore and the whole Greene County legislature, and over here, the Columbia County Board of Supervisors, and they're saying that they're against the Secure Ammunition Firearms Enforcement Act, but it seems to be quieting down. It seems, if it hasn't risen up farther at this point, what it tends to mean is that by the time we get into the elections next fall, it'll be a dead issue, and by the time we get to the midterms in 2014, it may be gone, but who knows?
You can never tell.
Some other things going on. There's a over in Palinville in the town of Catskill. They're working towards doing a hidden gallery walk in June, which is going to take place at the Catskill Mountain. They had a fundraiser at the Catskill Mountain Lodge, and this should be interesting. A few years ago, the Catskill Mountain Lodge did a wonderful outdoor sculpture show. It brought a lot of people kind of from around the area. It's a wonderful setup. And this one's going to be galleries set up in a number of barns and other spaces around the hamlet that people are going to walk to. And it's all part and parcel of this kind of growing trend towards playing up the long-standing cultural identity of Greene County as a way of building up cultural tourism in the area, and it ties in really nicely with the economic development funds that a number of nonprofits, arts organizations in the county and the county itself got quite a bit of money through what they call Red Sea, which is a rural economic development funds for a program that's being called Mainly Green, and they're offshoots of that. And this kind of helps that whole push. Going back to the idea of upcoming elections and the like, there was a Columbia County Chamber of Commerce legislative breakfast that took place last Friday morning, and a lot of politicos there. You know, represented U.S. Congressman Chris Gibson, who seems to be everywhere these days, was there. Board of Supervisors Chairman Patrick Gratton. And one of the interesting things was Dee Dee Barrett, the assemblywoman who won back-to-back election, announced that she's moving to Hudson. And what's interesting there is that, you know, those in the know feel that this may be kind of an indication that she may be running for Gibson seat at some point.
Oh.
You know, so, you know, someone will admit. It probably won't be a serious run for 2014, but possibly for 2016. I know he had said had limited the number of terms he was going to serve when he started serving. So let's see.
And there had there was some news articles about him being nudged by the state party to run for governor.
Yep. He's actually a very affable man,
yeah,
and a
very
good
nice
representative.
Yeah.
And whether that's possible at this point in time, I don't know. It's you end up pitching kind of rural New York versus urban New York,
right.
And urban New York, as we know, is a pretty powerful force.
He'll have he has a hard time nationally, but his positions are fine for New York State.
Yeah. In Catskill, the village board and the town of Catskill's Department of Public Works have agreed to sign off on an intermunicipal agreement that will allow the town of Catskill to now start connecting parts of itself to the village sewer system, which is a win-win situation. This comes off of all the back and forth regarding the village expanding up towards Leeds and in the direction of Athens. So it makes for a bigger, a bigger sewer system, and it helps everybody. It's, you know, more flow and allows for potential growth over the long run. Over here in Hudson, there's, that kind of sense of the changing city came into play again when now there's a big move from the City of Hudson's Common Council's Art, Entertainment, and Tourism Committee is suggesting that the city cemetery, which is a gorgeous place if you've never been up there, it's a great place for a walk, is going to be nominated for the National Register of Historic Places. And that's kind of another indication, just the shift that's going on over here in Hudson as it becomes more aware of its own heritage and specialness. In fact, when we were in both in London and in Rome, people had heard of Hudson.
Hey.
You know, of course, with Catskill, they get it mixed up with the mountains,
yeah,
et cetera,
and they think,
oh, it's near Albany. And Albany, they seem to have this indication that is a very small town. But Hudson is a big place.
Hudson's
right
swinging.
Now. Yep, Hudson definitely is. The whole TCI situation continues to rock the news.
It is making the news big time.
Yeah, it seems that TCI has is starting to throw lawsuits around.
Yeah.
Against the town, against planning board and zoning enforcement officer, amongst other people, and so everything's, you know, the restraining orders being set, and that's going to be a really difficult situation to get through. I really don't know if why a company would want to stay in a town that really doesn't want it. But, you know.
Now, we've got a lot of people staying on top of the TCI situation, so we'll keep you up to date on it.
Yep. The other ones that are looking kind of interesting coming up is there is this whole situation around Local Ocean, the indoor fish farm company. which had to cover its overdue taxes. It had had a pilot agreement. There was a, you know, there are a lot of these going on, pilot agreements that have been set up, and that's payment in lieu of taxes.
Right.
It's a way of, you try to pull a larger company in by offering it these deals. Well, a lot of those that were set up over the last few years of the recession are now being called all throughout the area with business entities and industrial development agencies and the like saying, hey, you promised to do this number of jobs. You promised this,
right,
and you haven't done it. So, you know, we're going to take this back right now. And the fact that companies are saying, okay, we give it back in most cases is kind of another indication of that turn of the pendulum.
Well, we had high hopes for that company. My wife and I actually went down there and visited the company. Ignorance is bliss, because we didn't know that we weren't allowed to, so we just walked in the door.
That's always a good way of doing it.
and there was high hopes for that the whole idea of, you know, they were it was like a fish farm.
Mm-hmm.
But for fresh saltwater fish.
Yeah.
And
they must be doing, you know, fairly well if they're able to pay back as quickly as they have to maintain themselves. But, you know, we'll see in the long run. Speaking of other things along those lines, there's been the Catskill Daily Mail has been running stories about, you know, all the new efforts that are going on to kind of keep Catskill moving along in a progressive fashion. There's that group called the Catskill Action Team that is now, you know, they had been pushing towards doing this large restaurant competition, as it were, called Catskill's Cooking, and that's kind of inching forward. But in the meantime, there's a whole new effort to replant trees up and down Main Street and kind of really play up the wonders of Catskill's Main Street, which is a real treasure around here. And then, meanwhile, the village president, Vinnie Seeley, who recently won yet another term as village president, is saying that things are starting to move ahead finally on the waterfront revitalization, which will see its first kind of big push in terms of the construction of what they're calling a Catskill Creek walking loop.
Yeah, right. I saw
and,
about that.
Eventually, that will tie into the resuscitation of that, what they call the Black Bridge, which is this wonderful old railroad bridge that carries sewer and water pipes over it. When we first moved to town, it was something you could walk over, and it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of plans for that. It's just, it suffered quite a bit of damage in recent floods. Finally, there's been some news out there about how they're getting ready to start dredging the Hudson again for PCBs, but that takes place quite a bit up river from here. But just, you know, we'll keep you aware of when they're doing the heavy dredging, so that if you're someone like me and my family that likes to go get in the river, you can know whether you're going to be glowing after you get in the river or not. Finally, the big issue that more than TCI is, I think, going to become the two big issues that are sitting out there just waiting to pounce on the news cycle. Over in Greene County, the big one is that they've been putting off the building of a new county jail for decades at this point, and it's going to catch up with them. And every county that dives into the idea of a new jail ends up getting bitten pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very expensive proposition, which is one of the reasons they've been holding off on it. Here in Columbia County, the big issue that seems to be coming in is that the county board of supervisors is starting to talk about privatizing the county's Pine Haven Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. And this is an issue that has turned out to be huge in Ulster County, and then farther down in Orange County. In Ulster County, it created a huge battle between the new county executive and the legislature that's still feeding itself out. Down in Orange County, quite a bit to our south in the Hudson Valley, it's been a mess around, I think it's called I think it was Golden Hill in Ulster County. I forget what it's called down in Orange County, the senior center. But it looks like it's going to see the county executive knocked out of power after a number of years because he was pushing so hard to privatize this senior home that it kicked back at him.
Ah, okay.
So you look for those issues. You know, these are the sorts of issues that come in and just swamp the news cycle for years once they come into play. Looking back into history a little bit, you know, there's some monumental things that happened on this day. Back in 1893, the first recorded college basketball game took place up at Geneva College in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. Now that college basketball got good. that's a big one. It was on this date in 1908 that Harvard University voted to establish its Harvard Business School. There's another era that began. Whether it's good or bad, that's anyone just something to think about. And this date in 1913 was when the 17th Amendment of the United States Constitution requiring direct election of senators became law. And, you know, that's something that who would have ever thought that would have come back into the news with a number of people on the far right saying, you know, that states should have appointed senators the way they used to be instead of direct voting. You know, heavens forbid.
Yeah.
and then finally, this is my favorite, in 1820 it was on this date that the Venus de Milo, or Venus de Milo,
Venus de Milo.
Was discovered on the Aegean island of Melos. so who knows, maybe they'll find the arms this year. looking back into birthdays, the great Belgian singer-songwriter Jacques Brel was born on this date in 1929. I don't know if he's kind of fallen out of favor, but a very influential writer. The whole idea of the chanson kind of came out of him. Speaking of writers, Seymour Hersh, the American journalist who I think he was one of the people that first brought out the My Lai massacre. He was a journalist that uncovered that, and then years later he was kind of one of the leading forces behind uncovering the whole Abu Ghraib debacle. And Seymour Hersh is, you know, just a real journalistic treasure, and he was born on this date in 1937. 1938 was born Kofi Annan, the 7th United Nations Secretary General. He was there's something I always liked about Kofi Annan. He took a lot of guff.
He took a lot of guff for not accomplishing something that no one could accomplish.
Right, and I think it was also just being at a time when he was serving at a very difficult time, a time that another birthday boy was Tom DeLay was kind of at his ascendancy. He was known as the hammer of the U.S. Congress.
Yes. And Hot Tub Tom.
Yeah. Now, is he in prison yet, or is he still appealing?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know what the story is with him.
Yeah. Then finally, kind of looking in pop culture, there was 1947. There was an English guitarist, Steve Howe, who he was the guitarist in that if you're of a certain age, everybody, you know, spent days looking at the cover of Yes albums, trying to figure them out. And he was the guitarist in the band Yes. But it was also on this date, 50 years ago, was born Julian Lennon, the first son of
John Lennon's baby boy.
Yep, of any of the Beatles, I think. Right. He was the first son. And you know, had a great musical career of his own, but also, you know, his father's compositional partner, Paul McCartney, supposedly penned the song we'll be playing for Julian at the time that his parents were breaking up, the great Beatles hit Hey Jude.
So. All right. Well, thank you, Paul, bringing us up to date.